And look in your Bibles to the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 23. David's an old man, and he, Scripture said these were the last words of David, the last things that he said. And you say, well, what did he say? He said, I remember that I had these mighty men that traveled with me. And I remember that these mighty men did great works for God and for me. And I haven't forgot what they did. One of the times that he remembered was this. He had been fighting hard. In fact, is he had fought so long in the battle that it seemed like his right hand was actually glued to his sword. He had continuously fought. Hundreds of people had been killed. David was exhausted to the point that he could not hardly see how to go on. And some way or another, old men happened to remember when they were young. In some way, as David remembered this, he remembered what happened. He didn't mean for anybody to do anything heroic, but what he said was, oh, he was so tired, he was so worn, it was so hard for him coming through that battle. And Bethlehem, his home place, was in the hands of the enemy. The Philistines had surrounded and taken over that area, and David and his army was pushing back and pushing back. And in the exhaustion of the army, down to where he could hardly move, he said, oh, if I could have a drink from the waters in the well at Bethlehem. Wow, three of his mighty men heard him say that. They went on an excursion and went behind the lines of the Philistines at the risk of their life, slipped into Bethlehem in the nighttime, drew water out of the well in Bethlehem, and brought it to David for a drink. And he looked at it and he said, there's no way I can drink this water. Said, three men have risked their lives and given themselves for this, and there's no way that I can possibly drink this water. He said, God, I'm going to give it to you for an offering. And he poured it out on the ground. You say, what had happened to David? He did just what you were doing a while ago, Charlie. He remembered living in Bethlehem. He remembered what it was like to be a boy and to live there. And you know what he remembered? How good the water was out of the well at home. Did you ever get homesick? Did you ever get homesick to see somebody or hear somebody? Did you ever get homesick for an experience that you had years ago or that you had back in life? This is what happened to David. The battle was hard. The battle was tough. The day was wearing on. And oh, if I could just go and drink from the well at home. If I could just have a drink from the water at home. I have a cousin who just went to be with the Lord this year, Sonny Boswell, and he was raised in Lynchburg. But he would come up here in the summer and stay at Grandma's. And when he would come up, he would always tell me, I remember the spring house. How we would go out under the trees back at the branch, and the spring house with its troughs of water and its crocks in it with the buttermilk and all of the things that we put in the crocks in the water. And he remembered how cool it was and how wonderful that water was. He was homesick for a drink from the well at home. David found himself homesick for a drink from the water at the well. Albert Brumley years ago wrote a song called A River of Memory. And the Chuck Wagon Gang sang it, the Statesmen sang it, lots of the famous people sang it. And when they sing that song, how their mind wandered back to where they were raised. Under the sycamore trees, how that they came and would hear the singing and all the things that would go on. And what a blessing it was to them. This is what happened to David. He just for a moment said, oh, if I could just have a drink from that well. He didn't mean for men to really risk their lives to get a drink. He just was so homesick, so thirsty for a drink at home. And sometimes we get the same way. Sometimes when I look back over the years, I think of the people through the years. I think of their mannerisms and what they did and how they shouted and things they said. I go back and I'm moved thinking what they do. Charlie, I watched you this morning when you were standing there and you just lacked one thing. You were kicking this leg up high. If you could have just pushed up with this and you'd have been Aunt Barbara. Because she kicked this one up and out she come and danced in the spirit. I remember the people. I remember the families that were here in the beginning. I would not want to be disrespectful to the memory of Dr. Hobson, who built the church in 1899. I would not want to be disrespectful to the memory of the McLaritys and the Clendenins and the Pirtles, the people who lived here prior to the coming of the Pentecostal people, who built a Presbyterian church just down the road here where the other church is now in 1899. I have to tell you, folks, we're pretty much sissies compared to those people. And somebody's going to say, well, they're just a bunch of Presbyterians. I don't know if they had anything or not. How many of you would get up in the morning on Sunday morning and dress and go down here to the river and cross this river in a rowboat to the other side and walk a mile and a half into Parrisburg to the Presbyterian church to go to church? How many of you would continue to do that after one morning the boat turned over and three of the family members of the McLaritys drowned and their bodies came up down at Shoemate Falls at Glen Lynn? My friends, I would not want to disrespect the memory of those Presbyterian people. This church would not be here today if those people had not built that church in 1899. They were going to Parrisburg on Sunday for church, across the river in a boat and up the hill, and the Presbyterian church was right in front of where the Johnson House is. That's where it stood. They set it on fire during the Civil War. And those people went there every Sunday. Then they built this church here so that they could have a church in their own community. When Sister Gilmer came here in 1932, the church had died because most of those old people had moved out and a new crowd had moved in who were not Presbyterians. Some were Methodists, some were nothing. Most of them had been involved in the liquor trade. It was Prohibition times and it was a bad time. The Patch Pass lawyers, my uncles would say, would come down to the river and holler for the boat, and when you brought it over, you better bring something hid down under the seat because they weren't there for a ride across the river. They were there for the moonshine that was being made here. And when Sister Gilmer and those people came in October of 1932, they came preaching a gospel of saving grace that changed people's lives. People's lives changed, their homes changed, everything changed. They quit drinking, they quit making liquor, they changed everything they did in their homes. And what a blessing it was. I remember who those families were, the Slaughters and the Deatons and the Marshalls and the Rices and the Fries and the Davises, those old families that were here. The Maxeys were on top of the mountain, and up the river were some more houses that were tenant houses that had people in them. Those people were here to receive the gospel when it came. And I remember their faith. I remember that they were willing to stand and believe what the Bible says. I remember their prayers. Yes, they became the most praying group of people I've ever known or run into anywhere. I remember their singing. You say at church? Oh, yes, at church for sure. And I can remember coming down the hollow and be late or something for church because sometimes we had to walk. A lot of times we had to walk. And I could hear Effie's voice carrying out over all the others and hear those people singing those wonderful songs. But that wasn't just a church thing. They sang as they walked 2 miles to church. They sang as they canned, as they washed, as they ironed, as they took care of their babies. you'd hear him singing. My grandmother's standing around a hot stove in August singing, "Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise." And she'd be singing about the unclouded day or singing about amazing grace. I remember their joy. They would dance for joy because where the Holy Spirit would come down and how they would be so happy. I remember their work ethic. Men and women and boys and girls would work all day in the fields, work all day in the timber, and then clean up the best they could and come to church. And no, they did not have a 30-minute or an hour service. They had hours of praying and seeking God. I remember their simple lifestyle. They were delighted to have enough cloth from feed sacks to make a dress. They were delighted if they got a new pair of overalls. And I remember their striving for moral purity. It was a struggle. They had to struggle. But I remember they struggled for it. And when I look back over the years and I look back at the memories and those things that are there, I find very often that I'm homesick. And I find there are people whose voices I would like to hear again. People whose faces I would like to see again. People whose prayers and whose singing I would like to hear again. And I aim to do it. I aim one day to go to a great meeting in heaven and lift our voices together and praise the Lamb who died for us. Praise the God who is the creator of the universe. My brothers and sisters, I have to tell you something today. We have a precious heritage. We've not always done all the right things. We've not always been wise in everything. We've not always been done things that we could be proud of. But I tell you what, we've done some things that God has been in. We've done some things and God has done some things through us. Common, ordinary hillbillies in Virginia, West Virginia, Kentucky. God has done some wondrous and marvelous things. And my brothers and sisters, they're precious. You say, well, what do? Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. My brothers and sisters, what God has done, don't ever let it go. What we have made a mistake in doing, don't worry about it. It's under the blood. Jesus has covered it by his blood. And my brothers and sisters, it'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all when we get home. If the choir will come, they're going to sing. And as they sing, I want you to know that I'll stay and eat. Stay and be part of what we're doing. And the choir is singing, "He Touched Me." Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you for your great love and your fellowship and all the wondrous and marvelous things that you've done. Father, I pray that you will bless this day. Lord, we bless not only this service, but we bless the food we're about to partake of. We bless our time of fellowship together, and we pray that this afternoon will be a time of blessed fellowship and love, that we may be drawn close together and we may be warmed by thy Spirit. Father, thank you that you did touch us. Thank you that your Holy Spirit has been here to touch us. Thank you for every song we've heard sung, for the messages we've heard from God. And pray now, Father, go with us and keep us this day and every day. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.